courage in being open, and I really appreciate you. Thank you. And if you're visiting the church, that's how we want to be. Actually, he's having some real conversations, some real discussions about the things that we struggle with. And I just really want to encourage, because I thought, and I've got my eyes closed for most of it, so I didn't know what was going on, but I felt it important that I speak to the men about this point. And then I thought, oh gosh, oh no, go on. Yes, please. And I thought, oh gosh, it's a bit of a cliche thing. I kind of won't. And then this song started about encouraging men of faith, rise up and sing. Of the great and glorious King, you are strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete. And I just really want to encourage the men that this is a safe place to talk about the struggles and the challenges of living the high calling of Christ-likeness. And I want to encourage you as that we seek to press in. This is not a new season. This is how we want to be, of getting comfortable about saying, I'm struggling in areas. I'm not even going to go into what, because it doesn't matter. Whatever you're struggling with, it's actually okay to struggle. And it's okay to say, I'm struggling. So this is a safe place, because actually when you do that, in your weakness, you know, you're strong. You're strong. And men in particular, I want to encourage you to think about your Christian walk. Think about those places that you're finding tough and share it. Yeah, we sometimes need to pick who we share it with. There is some wisdom, but sometimes we're creating it so secret and so exclusive. I'm not saying that there aren't times to go to a trusted brother that knows you and share. But actually, let's not keep it so low. There's something beautiful in saying, actually, church family, I'm struggling. What I thought Anne did this morning was beautiful. I'm struggling. I struggled, and actually, I've won the victory. And if you're struggling, you can win it too. So I want to encourage you, even now, as Bruce and as David here, even as I'm talking, just go up, yeah? God can multitask, and we can multitask, and maybe you've got something. Or at the end, if that's easier. But we've got to bring down this difficulty of, I just can't show I'm struggling. Men and women in that view. Amen? Heavenly Father, we want to go deeper in you. And that's about being honest about where we're at, the things we struggle with, the things we find difficult, Lord. And actually, when we just confess, Lord, there's great strength. Lord, may we be a church that seeks to wave, I'm struggling, come help me. Amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We're here. Oh, hang on. We're here at the end of our 6-week study in Colossians. And there were more than one reason why I didn't expect to be here this morning. The first, this is week 7 of our 6-week study in Colossians. About week 4 and 5, I said to him, we can't just end on wherever you ended, chapter 4, verse 6. I did know. I can't just end there. Yeah, you know, we'll have to have another week. And Tim's eyes lit up. Yeah, you know, we've got to bring it together. And the second reason I'm quite surprised to be here this morning is that, as you've heard, Tim had been preparing for at least a couple of weeks, because I know Tim, on really how to bring this word. And he gave me a call yesterday afternoon at 4 o'clock, while I was at my daughter's birthday party. I say, oh, I've been sick, we'll have to see. And at 8:37, the inevitable text last night, I don't think it's wise, Ben. So I got up early. And for those of you who know how early I get up, for me to say I got up early means it was early. And just spend some time with God. Yeah, so someone said, have we got any of the booklets? No. Do we have any slides? No. But we do have the simple word of God.
Hallelujah.
So where do we end? Because we have to end. This is why we had the seventh week. We couldn't just end where we were. So what was it all about? What was our study in Colossians? What was it all about? And the verses that we're going to look at, the verses that really, a lot of theologians say that really these two verses wrap up the whole point of Colossians, and they're a hinge verse I've now learnt, because they take us from where Paul has been to where now Paul is going. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 in the ESV, read this. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And that was the hinge verse for this whole letter. As you received Christ, Paul has just spent all that time talking about who Christ is. And actually then he then moves into after verses 8, 9 and 10 and chapters 3 into how we walk in our new understanding. Tim sent me his notes through and he pointed out that we were at the end of February and he wanted to ask how we were getting on with our New Year's resolutions. Our commitments we made at the beginning of the year to do something differently or to press into what we've been doing, to keep on keeping on. How are they doing, he thought. Have they become a distant memory? Do we need to get that piece of paper you hurriedly wrote at 11:58 on the 31st of December, which is probably screwed up in your pocket trousers, been through the wash a number of times? Or perhaps you've modified your list of resolutions, realizing that the commitment you made was a little idealistic. Too much, too soon. The standard you wrote down is something to aim for. Sounds better. To get closer to this year, but you may not get that far as you thought in the moment of the gongs of Big Ben. Or perhaps you've sat down and thought, you've sat down and thought, these are just silly things to do. I'm not going to be held by them anymore. Let's continue on in the same way I've always done. I'll just move on. It's interesting because many of our resolutions are good. More exercise, less indulgence, more reading and study, less TV and screen time. But it isn't really the end of the world if we don't do those, is it? 5 years ago, it's probably a bit longer, I decided to make an internal window in our upstairs landing. A previous extension had robbed us of external light to the area, so I wanted to borrow some light, I've read all the terms, from other rooms. I had a plan, and the first thing to do was to cut a hole above one of the bedroom doors in the plasterboard. I'd got everything I'd need, a sharp Stanley blade with sharp, sharp knife on there. However, I found it wasn't plasterboard at all, but lath. Lath is strips of wood, and they used to throw the plaster on it. So again, it wasn't a nice, easy thing. It was really hard work. And this dried plaster that had probably been on there since the house was built in 1950-something was crumbling off. I then had to get a saw and saw through each strip. And actually, it took the whole afternoon just to get one level down and to expose a part of the lath. Well, actually, I don't think I was working at SCF yet. I think that was the 9 months I had off. So we're talking January 2010. Actually, that exposed lath is still there. And you know what's interesting, though? Because we've all had those projects that we start, but we never quite finished. Those books we're meaning to read. I've just bought a book that thick on Moo's study of Romans. And it looks so good on my bookshelf. Going back, but I doubt I'll ever read it all. I was going to bring in my 5 volumes of N.T. Wright on Paul and talk about how I've read the first five chapters all on Philemon. Gosh, 5 chapters he wrote on Philemon alone, but will I ever really read those? We all have these aims and these things to do, but we never quite get there. Coming back to the laugh, do you know what's interesting? It's been exposed like that so long, I don't see it anymore. And it's only because, you know, now the excuse of having babies in the house and it being hard work, I can't use to not have people round, we're being a bit more hospitable. Someone's thinking, he hasn't invited me round yet. I just realised that. And I'm realising, what are people going to think? Whenever they ask, can I go to the toilet, two things go through my head. I don't know, I've got kids in the house, I don't know how they've left the toilet. And two, they're going to look at the laugh. But the point is, you just, it's been there so long, you stop noticing it. The Christian walk is vital to continue. It's not like I'm going to do a bit of exercise this year. I'm going to finish the 5 volumes of N.T. Wright's study on Paul. It's not like those things. This is far more important. This is vital. This is our lifeline. As you received Christ, so walk in him. This is the daily devotional commitment to work out the high calling of Christ. And that's the trouble. That's what I was talking about just early on. We just bring it lower and lower and lower. Do you know what? I love it. I do, Lord, honest. I love it when I'm wrestling with how to live in this Christian, in this non-Christian world like a follower of Christ. Because it isn't easy. But I can do it in him, and it needs my attention. Those things like the laugh, you're all going to want to come around now and have a look. I had some pictures. Yeah? I had some pictures. Maybe I should do a before and after. You can't afford things. Things like Anna shared to become those things that you just don't notice anymore in your life. It's the daily examining. 1 Corinthians 15, somewhere in there, says, examine yourself to see if you're still in the faith. Gosh, that's a sermon by itself. As you have received Christ, so walk in him. In other letters, Paul likens the Christian life to a race. 1 Timothy 7 says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Just that scripture alone makes it sound like he could have lost it. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that was set before us. It's not in my notes, but do you know that scripture about I press on towards the goal, not that I've already obtained it? Yeah, I think it's Philippians. I press on towards the goal. That word press is actually pressing against a force, something coming. And Paul says, not that I've already obtained it, but I press on towards the goal, the high call of Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. We are seeking a prize. We are seeking a prize. We are seeking a closer relationship with our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Don't know whose this is. Don't sip it after me. This week we heard about the death of a mature Christian, someone who ran the race well. Billy Graham, the famous preacher, died at the age of 99. There was a little bit that kind of went, ah. Yeah, I can say that because he knows where he is, but oh man. And it was this year, oh, of course it is, he's 99, yeah. It was this year, he was going to be 100. Oh, of course it was. If we were in December, it might have been next year. Someone who, by all observations, was rooted and built up in the faith, mature. Timothy wrote, I've got his bibliography, but like so many other things, I haven't read it. So he says, I've done what everybody else done. I've Googled him, and this was the first quote. So I Googled him this morning, and he's right. It was the first quote that comes up. Being a Christian is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It's a daily process whereby you grow to be more and more like Christ. Just like our verses here, Billy Graham recognizes that being a Christian is more than simply a momentary decision, a once-off choice that you make when you receive Christ, and he would know that more than most. After his preaching, many people would come forward in response, and he was aware that although decisions were made, people had a genuine conversion. That was not the end game of becoming a Christian, but the beginning. But let us go back. As you have received Christ, we need to remember that this was a positive, encouraging letter. If you read chapter 1, the Colossians church had a faith in Jesus Christ and a real love for God's people. You cannot love God. Question, can you love things more than you can love God? Yes, you can. You can. You can place things. It's called idolatry. It's called worshipping false gods. You can love things more than you can love Christ. Can you love people more than you love God? Yes, you can. You can place them first and foremost before God and his standard. But you cannot love God and not have it show up in the way you love people. You cannot love God and not have it show up in the way you love people. Hold on. There we go. So they had a faith in Jesus Christ and a real love for God's people. The gospel was bearing fruit and growing, not just in them, but in the whole world. However, they were beginning to look for something more. They had become dissatisfied with what they had heard. People began to tell them they needed more. Read my book. Listen to my podcast. Come to my conference if you want to really experience freedom. Joy from your sorrows. Escape from sin. Just come and hear what I have to say. Paul was concerned because the church had begun craving the novel, the new, or the mysterious. There's got to be something deeper. In balance, much good can come from this. Understanding new insights into Scripture, providing it was there in the first place. Reading about someone's real experiences in Christ, listening to what they have to say, but if it leads you even to a suggestion that you need something more than Christ as he is, then flee. And you know, actually, you can listen to other things, and for your neighbor who's a Christian, it can be fine, but for you, it can cause you to start to think, gosh, I need this. For you, stay away. Because it is Christ, it is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But why is he so worried about these things? That they were doing so well. And why do I need to be worried about them if it leads me to good things, good acts in my life, good motives, good, good, good? It begs the big question, what is good? And who decides if it's good? Here, good is defined by Jesus Christ, not an act, but a man. The creator and the finisher of our faith, of the world, of creation, and of the church. That's what Paul has just laid out in chapters 1 and beginning of 2. Here's a great example as to how we can use the Bible in error. If I start at 2 Colossians 6, just as you have received Christ, so walk in him. I can go in all sorts of wrong directions. I receive Christ as a prophet, a good man, a good person. I receive Christ as a metaphor, a myth created to show us how to live. When you start at verse 6, all these interpretations of Christ become valid to lay on the table. But when you start at Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, and read through to chapters 2, 6 and 7 and on, you can only receive Christ as the creator of all things, the Son of God, God himself. For he is all things and all things are in him. He's the glue that holds it all together. And the day God's spirit is removed from this earth for 1,000 years, as Revelation teaches, then woe, woe, woe. Why is it so important? If everything else still leads us to doing good, why was Paul so concerned that the Colossians would drift into error? Well, one, it's the good news. It's the good news of Jesus. It's actually his desire and his heart for everyone to receive the good news. And you know, we have a responsibility for sharing. We have a responsibility for living the good news, the gospel of Jesus. And that challenges me because I have good days and bad days. I have days when things get on top of me. I have days when it doesn't feel good, when it doesn't feel gospel. But I have to take my focus off of me and put it onto Christ. You see, this is why, remember last week when we did It Is Well? It is well with our soul. And David told the story. That is why that man, as he went over on the boat and was told, this is probably where your wife's boat and daughter's boat went down and they drowned, that he could pen, it is well. Because even though that day everything had gone on top of him, there was a bigger thing at play. And Christ lives us above those. Yes, does he feel the loss? Oh my word, does he? But that man could still pen, it is well. It is well with my soul. Paul wanted everyone to experience the true freedom that only Christ can bring. But deep down, the truest freedom is not freedom from troubles, freedom from sickness, freedom from poverty, although you might become free from the grip of all those things. It's actually because of what Christ has saved us from and moved us into. We were born in darkness, and now he's thrust us, the scripture shares, into the light of his kingdom. Because only Christ can save you from your sin. And when we move away from Christ and onto other things, we are in grave danger. Because the Bible teaches that this body is perishable. Your body will die. As sure as eggs is eggs, my nan used to say. Even now, cells are dying and less cells in my body are reforming. It's changing. It's inevitable. The sin nature within me has done that to this corruptible. But the Bible teaches that we are just not flesh, that we are spirit, and our spirit lives forever. Even now, oh no, I've done that, even now, cells are on, but the Bible teaches that this is not the end, and every single person will stand before the Creator, who we now know is Jesus, in reading Colossians, and give an account for their life. Do you know the Bible teaches that you will stand before God and you'll give an account for your life. Every act, every word, every thought. Dear Lord, may your grace cover my poor choices and what I have done and what I have said and on what I have thought. And you see, where actions, words, and thoughts have dominion over us, then we live in the real possibility of losing everything Christ has given us. I've run the race, run it, endure it. I've run the race, I've kept the faith. We saw so many last year able to celebrate that. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? I've not got the scripture reference there, but it says in the Bible, trust me, you were running well. Who hindered you? Who hindered you from running the truth? From obeying the truth. As you received Christ as Lord, so walk in him. It is easier to receive Jesus as Christ, my Savior, my Rescuer, than it is to receive him as Lord. Think about that. It's all of those things. He's broken chains. Broke every chain. Oh, we could have stayed there. Yeah, because it's true. He's taken us from darkness and moved us into light. He's forgiven us those things that every human being on earth deep down knows there's something wrong with the way we're living. He frees us from all of that. It is easier to accept Jesus as Savior than it is Jesus as Lord. But, sorry, let's read it again. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Bear with me. Do you know what the word Lord means? I didn't write down the, it's the Greek, isn't it? The Greek word, but it means to he whom a person or thing belongs. You belong to Christ, the Lord, about which he has power over deciding. Master, Lord. When we call him Lord, we're saying you are the possessor and the disposer of my life. The owner, one who has control. We don't like these words. The owner, one who has control of the person, the master. In the state, the sovereign, the prince, the chief, the Roman emperor is a title of honor expressed of respect and reverence with which servants greet their master. The title is given to God, the Messiah, Lord. And we can see those negative or we can see those positive. Lord, and we sing it, don't we? Lord, I give you my life. Wow. And that's a walk in it. Lord, help me keep you Lord of my life, because I am told that I should make my choices. I should decide the future of my life. I should determine how I should live. I should determine how I should go. And yet your word tells me I submit. We learned that word last week. All of those things for you. That's hard, isn't it? I'm sorry, it just is. We are bombarded by saying, do not live that way. And yet there's such a beauty and a freedom in Christ when we accept him as Lord. So my first question, we've had lots of questions on these. Maybe they've remained on the floor in the leaflets that have been done. Maybe they've just stayed as slides on the website. You'll have them neither, so it's easier to forget them unless you write them down. So my first question, how did you receive Christ? Did you receive him as Lord? My next question, is he Lord of your life now? And the good news is, hold on, okay, and the third question, how are you walking? So, first question, how did you first receive Christ? Did you receive him as Lord? Oh my goodness, I didn't. I love the Messiah bit. Oh my goodness, don't panic. Don't panic, Mr. Mannering. Is he Lord of your life now? Oh my goodness, I don't think he is. Do you know what's fine? Do you know what the good news is? You don't need 6 weeks worth of counselling. You can have it, it's good, but you don't need it. Father, I have recognised just thinking this morning, there's areas of my life that you are not Lord. Father, I want to make you Lord of my life. And you know what? God says, oh. And then do you know what I do? I go, David, can you help me? There's some areas I've just confessed. Yeah, I need you to keep an eye on me because these areas I'm going to take back so very easily. And David says,
of course I will keep an eye on you, my friend.
But we do it and we make a laugh, but that's it. Because actually Paul goes on in chapters 3 and 4 to talk about the family, to talk about how we interact with one another. And you've heard me say we cannot do this thing alone. It's Christ in me. And then God says, but you need other people. And my brother keeps a watch on me. So, how did you first receive Christ? Is Christ Lord of your life now? And number three, how are you walking each day? Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully now how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Each and every day, how are you seeking to keep off the things that the flesh wants you to put back on again? How are you keeping on the things that the Spirit in you needs to be more like Christ? It's that list. I hate some say, oh, Ben, you know, you did really well on giving us the list of do's and don'ts. And I don't see it as a list, but I understand that. Look at, it was chapter 3, yes it was. Look at chapter 3, the things to take off and the things to put on. Starts with the inner. You know, on Remembrance Sunday, I preached about the battle. And actually, I said the battle starts, it's not out there, the battle starts in here. And the battle is for the lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. And actually, so what did I say? Because I was in the spirit here. Each and every day, how are you seeking to keep off the things that the flesh wants to put back on again? How are you keeping on the things that the Spirit in you needs to be more like Christ? Now again, as a spectrum here, gosh, there's all these things that I've got to do. I thought it was all about freedom. You can see it through that lens. You can see it through that lens. And just say, and I don't need to do any of this stuff because it's just Christ. I get that. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. The whole point of this scripture, as you have received Christ as Lord, now walk. Now walk. Now walk. Now walk. Live it out. Talk about it. I meet with people and we talk about our struggles, our challenges. We talk about those things. Jesus. Give me a second. What I've written doesn't make sense. Yeah. How does this Christ life like work alongside our relationships with others? That's where Paul takes us now. He gave us instructions for the family, instructions for one another, bearing with one another, forgiving. There's such rich stuff. Do you know we need to practice forgiveness? Because it's just wonderful. It's so freeing and liberating. It's such a gift to be able to forgive. How does this Christ life look like when working alongside my relationships with others, my family, my wife? And so many of you asked, yes, I did call that person in my family who had had, well, who had just sent something in that was unhelpful and then carried on as though nothing had happened. And yes, I phoned them up simply for a chat. I didn't need to talk about how they'd wronged me, how they'd sent me a text as opposed to picking up the phone, because I just actually dealt with it in my heart. And there wasn't anything to talk about. So I went out of my way. You've not met this person, because I would. I'd be thinking, I wonder who it is. Hold on. You've not met them. I don't speak to them that often. So I went out of my way to go and just pick up the phone and have a conversation. I love the fact that I had about five people. Have you made that call? You said it from the front. I called them to simply find out how they were, what was going on in their life. They will never know the hurt they caused or the day pondering how I was going to speak to them. They will never know, because when I weighed it all up, in this instance, didn't need to be said. Just needed me to forgive in my heart and move on. And this is how we become rooted in Christ. We walk it out. We talk it out. For me, home groups, prayer triplets, they're invaluable to talk about our struggles, to talk about our highs, our lows. Not to get fixed on it, not to get fixed down in the mire, but to be shared and lifted up. There are times you just need to take the whole night, and there's times when the Spirit is moving and it just takes over and there's a beautiful time and you just don't know where it's gone. But this is how we are firmly rooted and built up. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. The gospel doesn't need any supplementing. It doesn't need any additions. It's actually pure. And the gospel isn't a message or an act. The gospel's a man. The gospel is Jesus. And when we press into him, we become firmly rooted. Firmly rooted. So in closing, not only this morning's message, but also this study on Colossians. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church.